James chapter 1 and chapter 5. These little boys and girls up here singing, I'm remembering that Marla, her little boy Sebastian, Marla's got a job 4 days a week, full time. She needs a babysitter for her son. And some of these kids had all the words down, and if he didn't get all the words, he had the facial expressions and the hand movements, you know. And people say the Lord will never ask you to do anything that you're not able to do. So when these kids were talking about jumping and shouting, I don't jump, you know. So the Lord don't ask me to jump because I can't jump, you know. I might clear daylight under my feet. That'd be about, I don't know if you call that jumping or not. But I could sure use them praising and saying amen. They could sit in the choir behind me for a little while, you know, and help the congregation along. Look at the beginning of James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And then over in chapter 5, and beginning with verse number 7, James begins and ends his writing with the subject of patience. The trials and tests of life can produce long-temperedness. Patience in this passage has two meanings. First one is long-temperedness. In verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Here we have a second aspect of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And then he begins with the aspect of prayer. So he deals with patience in two places here. He deals with patience that is long-temperedness and patience that is enduring, continuing. Too many people in our world today are short-tempered. We are stressed. We are under the gun, so to speak, sometimes with finances and our time and getting everything done. And people get out on the interstate in the mornings and there's a wreck up the road somewhere, and so traffic comes down to a halt, and you'll see some of those people that are blowing their horns and weaving in and out of traffic trying to get ahead, and you know, they'll end up causing another accident trying to save 2 or 3 minutes to get to work on time. And some of them are that pressed because they've been late so many times before. Whereas if they would just get up 15 minutes or 30 minutes earlier than they're getting up and go ahead and go to work, when they get to work, they'd have time to sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and read their Bible a little while in their car before they go in and punch in the time clock, you know. But people get stressed out and they're short-tempered, demanding, road rage. Mature believers who go through life learning patience see the positive outcome that difficult circumstances and sometimes painful trials and tests that come our way can have a positive influence on us learning patience and learning that how to pray and obtain the Lord's patience in need for what we're facing in life. Life is a testing ground that equips us for the service that God has for us in days to come. It equips us for leadership. Those who sit in leadership positions have to be people who've been tested and proven, and they've gone through troubles and trials and difficult times that have equipped them for what they're facing. In James' day, there was great persecution among the believers that were scattered abroad, among the tribes of Israel that were scattered, both by persecution from the Roman government and then in the individual places where they went. Paul faced the persecution along with other believers from the Jews and also from the idolaters, and the troubles and trials of life in that day brought many hardships and many trials. People had to live by faith day by day. And Paul's attitude in writing, and James and Peter and all these disciples, as they went through their lives and ministries, we see the maturing process that took place in them from the time that Jesus called the early disciples and some of the responses they had to things in their early days, and then later their writings in New Testament books of the Bible. We see the maturing process that has taken place in their lives, attitudes of maturity, learning to overcome the hardships of life, recognizing that we can cast our care upon the Lord, for He careth for us, as Peter said. And Peter learned that through his own experiences of life. We face difficulties often because we serve the Lord, not because we've failed to serve the Lord. Because we're faithful to God, because we go to church, because we live for the Lord, we're going to face certain difficulties that will require patience on our part in dealing with people, to be long-tempered. And James uses these two expressions about patience in chapter 5 and verse 7 through 12. He said, first of all, be patient, the Lord cometh. And this word has that definition of being long-tempered. The Christian life is a long-distance journey. It is something that we don't master overnight or in a short period of time. It takes many years of study and walking with God to mature as a believer to handle some of the difficulties that we face in life. And if we continue faithfully, we will learn. There will be hardships. Moses led the people of Israel, and the people at one point became discouraged because of the way, the hardness of the journey itself, the way they were traveling as they went toward Edom. The path itself was difficult for them. The ground was hard and hot and difficult in the journey, and they got discouraged because of the way. We often get a little discouraged because of the way of life, because of some of the hardship that we face in life. We need patience in every aspect. We have to have patience, as I said this morning, in the marriage relationship and in the family relationship, dealing with the husband and the wife and with children. People are just people. No matter what kind of good home you have, they still have troubles and problems, and we can lose our temper. We can say something hurtful or harmful. We have to learn respect. It's a growing process. Maybe it's your work and your career. It takes time to progress. It takes time to get an education. And education is not wasted. I encourage education and training so that you're equipped for a good job and maybe more than one thing in life, and that you're promotable in leadership to make a better living for your family will make life easier for you. We have to be patient with people in the Christian life. People expect us as Christians to show patience toward them, to have soft answers that turn away wrath, to have the right way to express things and not be angry when we discuss things with people. In the ministry, we need great patience with the lost. It takes as much time to work with the unsaved for them to come to bearing fruit for God as it does to plant fruit trees and wait as much as 10 or 12 years for some of them to produce the fruit that you look forward to partaking of when you plant them. Pecans take quite a while, and some of your fruit trees take quite a while, and it takes great patience. James is referring to a husbandman in an orchard and comparing that to the coming of the Lord. He said, "Be patient, brethren, for the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain." We're right now getting ready to come into, it seems like it's been spring all winter, but we're coming close to spring. Good Friday before Easter is the time that most of the almanacs will tell you that not to plant anything until after Good Friday. And the ground will have time to heat up, and the vernal equinox takes place, and the weather will warm up, and the ground will warm up, and it's time you can plant, and things will sprout and bring forth life and all that sort of thing. And so it's now that time of year to start preparing the ground, and pretty soon plant the seeds, and then it won't be long. You'll be fighting the battle with the weeds and the drought and all of those kind of problems with watering and weeding, hoping that you can pick some of the fresh vegetables and some of the melons and good old cucumbers and squash and all that sort of thing, you know, and have some good, tasty, fresh vegetables. But it takes patience. It takes work. And the Lord compares this to our work in the ministry with the coming of the Lord. We are to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. But while we're waiting, we're not supposed to go out and sit in the woods with a white sheet on just waiting for the Lord to come. We're to be busy laboring while we're waiting for the Lord to come, expecting the harvest. Now, James uses this husbandman tending the orchard and any kind of farming in general. There are many, many lessons in Scripture in athletic terms and in farming terms and in terms of war that give us illustrations to remind us about how to live. It takes a lot of time with gardening and planting and bearing an orchard, and it takes water and it takes pruning and it takes fertilizing and it takes hard work. During that time, it takes the care of those things until you begin to receive the fruit from them, and you need the early and the latter rains. It takes time for our homes to mature, time for us to learn life's lessons, to be equipped, to be ready to serve in the ministry with some of the difficulties that we're going to face. Change takes time. If we're impatient, we're going to face a lot greater conflicts than we would if we learn mature, patient, long-temperedness. When problems arise and we patiently deal with those issues and keep our temper out of the way, we can wait being busy for the Lord, and quite often people's attitudes will change after they see that we've dealt with them with a patient spirit. It takes hard work. It takes time. It takes waiting. It takes much to instill the changes that are necessary without getting discouraged, without getting defeated, without giving up, without falling by the wayside. Start today, and inch by inch, they say life's a cinch. You know that with patient endurance, the turtle and the snail both reach the ark. And you and I have to have patience and endurance, long-temperedness in dealing with people, and endurance in continuing in the right way. It takes time to undo bad habits and patterns that we have developed in our life that we need to make changes in. It takes time to win people over. You might have a neighbor that you've been a witness to for some time, and you'd like to see more fruit there. You'd like to see more evidence of change there. You'd like to see the power of the gospel at work in a greater way. And I readily admit to you that it becomes frustrating sometimes that we witness to people and we long to see some results from the witness that we have borne unto them. A few hours a week, working on things, studying, might mean a better job for you down the road. Getting yourself mentally prepared and educating yourself in a particular field or course. The technical colleges are a goldmine of weekday classes and night classes and weekend classes and trades and all that sort of thing, of things that can be learned to provide good jobs over a period of time. Takes time to make a better relationship in the home with the husband and the wife. You've been married for 20 years and you've developed problems and troubles and things of that nature, and you got to sort of clean the table off and start over, and it's going to take quite some time to change the philosophy and the habits that you've built long term that will turn things around in your life. Secondly, James said, establish your heart, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Being ready, because Jesus could come at any time. The more we study and learn, the more grounded and settled we become. Our behavior should reflect that, how we live, handling troubles and problems, and how our life is daily and dealing with people. Some see folks who've been saved for many, many years but don't seem to have grown very much. And it's because they never did get discipled. They never did get into a good church. They never did get into the Bible. They never did get grounded in their faith. They're not busy getting ready for the coming of the Lord, looking for Jesus to come, expecting Jesus to come, preparing for Jesus to come. And the weakness is evident in the results of daily life. Having a good church, reading and studying the Bible, finding a place of service within the church, in the ministry for God, these things help us to grow and mature, and we have experiences that way we'd never have in life any other way. Scripture teaches that we have to guard our heart, because what our heart gets focused on, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do you treasure in life? Your affections will focus upon what you treasure. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe you spend all your time just getting ready for the weekend when you can enjoy your hobby. Golf or fishing or whatever it might be. Maybe it's leisure time. You work so you can enjoy the time off. Maybe it's material things. You work so that you can have more material things. Maybe it's people that you're focused on. It's people that you treasure. It's people that you spend your time with. There's nothing wrong with having people in a priority, but we must always keep the Lord first and foremost in our life and not make people more important than the Lord. What about heaven? When's the last time you thought about it? Focused on it? Thought about one day you're going to live there, about the Lord's preparing a place for you there? Is our focus on heaven? Is that a treasure to us that we look forward to and we think about and we focus on so that we are anxious and prepared? Scripture warns of those who will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we see that a lot in our society today. Some love their free time rather than service. Some have a love for souls and they make sacrifices and put forth efforts to reach the lost, support missionaries, help churches get started, do whatever we can do in order that people might get saved and come to know the Lord. It takes a love for the Lord to obey Him and to give up of our time. And many have so many personal pursuits There's no time for God, no time for service, no time for growth. They didn't sit down one day and decide, you know, I'm going to stop spending so much time trying to grow as a Christian or go to church or serve the Lord. I'm going to spend more time for myself. It's not like they sat down and decided that. It's that those things began to crowd out the most important things. And they began to choose to do what was good without doing what was best. And the next thing they know, they've got things inverted and they're spending too much of their time on other things. They think one day I'll do more. One day I'll serve God in a greater way. One day I'll have time. And boys, we all know if you wait till you've got time for something, you'll probably never do it because it, time doesn't increase. It's the same amount of time every week that we all have and we all deal with. It's important that we guard our hearts. To do more for God is going to require doing less with something else. And it's hard for us with action-packed lives to give up anything in particular, to find more time to do something. It takes patient endurance. Thirdly, he uses the prophets as an example in verse number 10 and 11. Patience, the second type here, is endurance. The prophets endured. Will we continue faithfully serving until Christ comes? Will we endure in the Christian race, living for God, looking for Jesus to come again? Continue regardless of the obstacles, regardless of the hardships. Not get sidetracked away from the straight and narrow path and the desire to grow for God and to serve the Lord. What if we were to face the kind of persecution that the early church faced in James' day and Paul's day and the time of our Lord Jesus Christ? What if we faced that kind of persecution? What if we live today in Iran or Syria or one of these Muslim-controlled countries and we were a Christian and we would face the persecution from the Muslim people there in Islam? Do you know why Islam has grown so rapidly as it has? Because it is a religion of force. They take over people. They threaten them. All you got to do is line up a few people and murder them, and then a whole village will come into submission, which is what Islam means, submission. And you see, that kind of difficulty is not appealing to them with the hope of heaven and appealing to them with the hope of forgiveness of their sins. It's appealing to them that if they don't conform, that they could lose their lives. Too bad we can't use that. It's a pretty good growth tactic that's worked real well for them, you know. In the Christian life, we often see people get discouraged and get out of church and turn back to the way of the world. We've had members get out of church because they built a new house and they spent all their time, you know, getting the property ready and building the house, and they got out of church over it and just never got started back. We've seen people get out of church over divorce. We've had good, faithful church members that were involved in the church that developed marriage problems, got a divorce, and then both left the church, the husband and the wife. And quite often that's the way it will happen because people don't want to be embarrassed to see the same people all the time that know everything about their life and that ask them about the other person and all that sort of thing. So it's a lot easier just to go somewhere else and start over. Many are seeking churches today with no restraints and no morals and no doctrine, just a big building with a big crowd, and you come as you are and stay as long as you want and leave when you're ready, and don't have to believe anything in particular. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You don't have to be expected to do anything in particular. And some of those churches, you know, they don't even have a pastor. They got a pastor on video, and he's pastoring a big church somewhere, and then he's got a couple of these satellite churches where they just show a video of him speaking, and people go and they have a rock band, and they sing for an hour, and then the video comes on, and the speaker speaks for 45 minutes, and then they go home, and that's it for the week. and they're done. And that's as much religion as some people want. And I've learned through the years that there's a church around here on every corner. And if you don't want what we have here, all you got to do is go visit around. It'll be pretty easy to find whatever you're looking for. From any kind of strange, aberrant belief to even something similar to what we do here. There's all kinds out there, and it's easy to find them if you go and look for them. But we do what we believe is right with God. What we believe is preparing God's people to be ready for the coming of the Lord, to be looking for Jesus to come again, to be busy in the vineyard until the Lord comes to take us home. Christian life is like a marathon race. It's not only a long race, it's a long race uphill. And it's hard. And it takes renewed energy and commitment. We all get tired. We all get sidetracked. We all face some difficulty that we need to have a reviving in our spirit and a renewal in our devotion so that we can begin again to do the things that we know are right to do. Determination not to quit is what this kind of patience and endurance requires. James 5:10, he mentions the prophets. Think about Moses, who the Bible says was a prophet. He faced the difficulty of leading Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And there are many hardships that he faced. Scripture says of Moses, he was the meekest of men. He was a leader, and he had a meekness about himself. He chose to be identified with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt and their riches for a season. His desire was to please God, and his faith helped him not to fear Pharaoh with what all he had to face, and he endured keeping his eyes on God, who is invisible. He observed the Passover by faith and was obedient to apply the blood. By faith he endured all those years. Now, was he perfect? No, he was a man. He had a sinful nature. He made some mistakes and some errors, but Moses offered himself substitutionary before God to preserve the people of God, and God spared the nation of Israel because of Moses and his intercession. I think about Daniel and the three Hebrews and the decisions they made. They made a choice to continue to serve God, not to conform to the ways of Babylon, to eat the king's meat that was dedicated to idols, and to drink the strong drink that the king's priests gave to the young men who were being schooled and taught in the languages and in the educational system. They made a choice, and it could have cost them their lives, but they put them to a test, and they found that because they served God and followed the Levitical diet, that they were stronger and wiser than if they had partaken of the king's meat and drink. And so they allowed them to continue. They chose not to get involved in the pagan rituals of the society where they lived, but continue in how they had been raised and brought up, and they made choices to endure. Job is mentioned, James 5:11. He endured, and he was rewarded at the end of his trial. Job finished well. He continued to serve the Lord. He faced all of the hardships. His friends accused him. His wife rebuked him, told him to curse God and die. But he just kept putting one foot in front of the other one and doing what was right until one day the trial was over. And then the Lord used him to pray for his friends so that the Lord might spare them. We live in this day where Islam has spread itself out like a great green bay tree, and people are not being given a choice where they live and where they grow up, and the religion of their state-run churches and mosques and that sort of thing. We are blessed to have the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy, but there are communities where the influence of this is coming into our country and there are changes that are being made all the time. For us to endure, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to be found faithful, looking for the coming of the Lord. Be steady in our church and growing in our Bible study and our prayers and seeking ways that we can serve God and be a witness to others. The law of large numbers applies. You see, it isn't what we did this week at Bible Baptist Church that's going to matter for all eternity necessarily, but what we've done every week for 38 years. The law of large numbers, the witnessing, the missions, the evangelization, the training programs, all that we're doing together, continuing in the right way, on the right path, will help us to endure as the prophets endured all of their life. I'm thankful that we haven't faced the kind of difficulty of persecution unto death, and I pray that we don't face that. We don't know what our children may face in days to come. Patience to wait for the harvest. Patience to wait for the early and the latter rains. Salvation is deliverance from the penalty of our sins and the power that our sins have over us and from the presence of sins when we go home to be with the Lord. We're going to look forward to a new body, a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. It's important that we comfort one another and encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If we're looking for the Lord's coming, if we see the days approaching, we need to encourage one another unto steadfast faithfulness unto God. Recognize Jesus is coming again. James said we need patience. We need long-temperedness. And we need endurance because the Lord cometh. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people in being here tonight. I pray that your blessings would be upon them, that you'd meet all of their needs. We love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you provide for us. We ask your blessings on this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.